many years ago, back in the horse and buggy days. That's just a little old person joke there. Anyway, back when they had CB names, you know, CBs and, you know, there you go. Back in cassette tapes, back eight tracks, baby. Yeah. How many remember eight tracks? Yeah. Remember when your friends said, well, they're going to have cassette tapes, and we go, oh, that ain't going to happen. They're never going to get rid of these 8-tracks. These are the best things since sliced bread. Are you kidding me? No, they got rid of that. Then they got rid of cassettes. Then they went to CDs, and now everything just hangs in the air somewhere just like floating in the air somewhere. All right, so in our first church in Fort Dodge, there was really good things taking place. Lots of people were getting saved. There was really cool stuff going on. And some of the people in the church were trying to chastise the leadership of the church and chastise me in the context that, hey, you know, we can't go out there and get people saved because, you know, we need to grow. We need to grow. We need to become better. We need to be more mature. We need to... You know, we need to really work on this and work on that, and so my answer to those people were the title of our sermon today. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Huh? Can't tell. Oh, don't say that. Bah, 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 bah. Okay. Anyway, the thing is, the early church, they were saved, right? Baptized, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. I mean, nobody told them they had to become some kind of multi-level, performance-oriented, mature Christian to you know, finally get to the place where they could take care of the babies that were coming into the church. They were all babies, and they were taking care of one another. Amen. It's important that we understand there's nothing wrong with growing and maturing, but if that makes you more independent of God, that's the wrong kind of growing and maturing. That's just crazy. And I am so very much against multi-level, performance-oriented Christian religion that it makes me physically sick to my stomach that what's going on in the church today. And so, you know, we need to grow, we need to mature, but our maturity should make us more dependent upon the Father, just like Jesus was more dependent. He only did it and only said what the Father told him to say and do. So our example is Jesus Christ, right, in maturity, and Jesus was totally dependent upon his Father. So then we should be totally dependent upon his Father. Not some level of, okay, I go through this class, and now I get a star. And now I go through this class, and I get another star. And now I go through this class, and now I'm qualified to... No, that's crazy. The grace of God is sufficient for every one of our situations. We're all in process, and we all need to stay in the process, but we need to realize that this whole performance-oriented, you know, finally, I'm not mature enough to do this yet, but one day I will be. Well, then you'll never do it. So the harvest is important to bring in, and Jesus has something to say to us. He says, look at it this way and stop saying this. Don't say that. And it's in John, the 4th chapter, verse 34, Jesus said to them, this is right after his experience with the woman at the well, And he said, my food, because they go, well, what has he eaten something? He sent them in to get some food. He's talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And he goes into this conversation, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So in other words, he's saying, my nourishment, my sustenance is to do the will of him who sent me. That's so cool. That's such a great statement, really. I mean, you know what? You need to get over yourself. Christians need to get over themselves. Jesus came to die for the whole world. You need to be part of the church. We have so individualized our Christian faith that we become very self-centered in our commitment to Christ. It's when we feel like being committed to Christ. And it's, well, if things don't work out the way I want, then we're all discouraged and we're all depressed. And oh my goodness. Listen, there's a bigger picture here. And the bigger picture is God is God and you're not. And I'm not. And if we submit ourselves to God, we are going to have the kind of life that deep down inside in our spirit person that's been born again from by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, deep down inside we know is capable. But if we try to mix up this self-centered, performance-oriented, weird and wacky thing that's going on in Christianity in many circles, then we're going to have problems. Submit yourself to God, the Bible says, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. I spent most of my life trying to resist the devil to no avail. Because I don't have the power in myself to resist the devil. I forgot about the first part of that scripture. That is submitting to God. God is God. If you don't like it, that's tough. I mean, it's just the way it is. God is God. And we need to begin to realize that God is holy. God is God. There is one way to the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. These things are important to grasp a hold of, to receive into our lives so that we can live the kind of life that God called us to live. God is God. That's it. You're not. I'm not. God is God. And so Jesus, his food, his sustenance was to do the will of Him who sent Him to finish His work. Now, listen, He says to the disciples, do not say, everybody say, don't say that. Don't say that there are still four more months and then comes the harvest. Now, can you imagine these disciples? I mean, you gotta, if they're not really in the groove here, right, which a lot of times they weren't, and we aren't either many times, you know, if they weren't getting this, if they weren't on their spiritual side, you know, they weren't following Christ, you know, I mean, they weren't on the spiritual side of this thing, and they're still in the natural, they're going, Jesus is saying, don't say there's still four more months and then comes the harvest, but that's the case. Look at the weed out there, Jesus. Hello. What was in the water that woman gave you? Everybody knows there's still 4 months before the harvest. Jesus said, don't say that. Everybody say, don't say that. For behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. For they are already white for harvest. They're ripe. They're already ripe. Overripe. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. Now, the old saying, you can't take it with you, is true and not true. You can take some things with you. It's not your physical stuff that you have. You know, you can't take back. If you put bags of money in your casket, let me know where you're buried. Because you won't be needing that in that ground that you're buried, right? We could use it, and we appreciate the offering. But the fact is, you can send it on ahead, right? And so by sowing and reaping the harvest, sowing and reaping into the harvest that God, the eternal things that God has sent us to, has called us to be involved with, you can put fruit into your account in the heavenlies when you get there. I just love that. Everybody likes savings accounts. I got a savings account in heaven. It's building up in heaven for me. Well, yeah. Well, I'm having fun. Sandra, are you having fun? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Watch out now. She'll get up, do a Pentecostal jig, and start running around the place. I'm telling you right now, you got to watch that girl. She knows, I know. Oh, boy. So I get so excited, I get way off my subject here. Okay, so, for in this, the saying is true. One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not even labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So, it's important to understand that in God's plan, we need to be sowing and we need to be reaping. We need to be looking for opportunities to sow and to reap in the kingdom of God. And you never know which one of those is going to happen. Don't say there's still four more months. Oh man, the harvest is, I'm telling you, you cannot see the goodness and the blessings that God has for us, and we receive those things by faith. So believe that sowing and reaping takes place in God's kingdom all the time. We have favor. We're blessed. Sow seed and look to reap a harvest in the kingdom of God. So here we go. Look at this scripture. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 35. Then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I love this. And healing every disease, sickness, and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We need to believe a different way. We need to see a different way. And we need to act in a different way. We need to believe in a different way. We need to believe eternally and not temporally. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and your right standing in his realm, in his kingdom, and all of these things will be added to you. Listen, I'm telling you, man, I've been really getting focused in, trying to really focus on eternal, okay? You know, when you think about our lives and how we spend our lives and how we raise our children and how we do our jobs and just life in and of itself, so many times it's so temporal. And those temporal things are subject to change. They're temporary. They're so temporary. And it would be just, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would begin to focus on eternity, eternal rewards, eternal blessings, if we would begin to focus on that, man, I'm telling you, I can't even imagine what incredible things the Lord has in store for those who would begin to focus, to make their heartbeat to focus on eternal things. Jesus was focusing on eternal things when he was speaking the words of life to that Samaritan woman who was rejected at the well. And if we would focus on eternal things, really, there's nothing wrong with ball games, there's nothing wrong with this, or choir, this, there's nothing wrong with all these things that we drive ourselves crazy about with our kids, and we go into debt for to try to make our kids happy, and on the list goes. You know, really, when they're 30 years old, they're not really going to care that you almost went broke paying for their dancing lessons, unless they happen to belong to the not the orchestra, the not the symphony, the ballet, you know, it's just so many things that we spend so much energy on, right? And we get so anxious about really our temporal things. You know, they have their importance, but they don't have the kind of importance that eternal things have. I think it's more important to have a bigger picture, to help our family, for ourselves and for our families, to focus on things that are eternal. That's more important than anything you could give your family. That's the most important thing. If you could leave that legacy for your family, to focus on what is eternal, I just think that would change our lives and our children's lives and our church's life and the world that we live in. I think it would change things immensely. Think about that. Think about eternity. Things that represent eternity. The harvest of souls that God wants us to reach. Our families. The world that we live in. Very important stuff. And if we had, that was our heartbeat. That was our focus. We'd be like the early church, wouldn't we? We'd be going from house to house and fellowshipping, rejoicing, full of joy. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Pretty cool stuff. We need to see in a different way. The harvest fields are ripe. They are ripe, but they're not ripe. They're ripe. The harvest fields are ripe. Whoa. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to act a different way. He who sows and he who reaps will reap a reward. The Bible says in Matthew, the 20th chapter, starting at verse 18, go ye therefore. Christ says, all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Go, therefore. That starts with a mentality. That starts with a hard attitude to focus on eternal things, not just temporary things. Eternal things, not just temporary things. I love this scripture. In conclusion, and I'm not even kidding, Revelation 12:11. I love this scripture. I just love this scripture. It's a you know, read the whole chapter. I mean, it's just it's a great scripture. It's the host, you know, the Christians are in, you know, in heaven. It's an incredible event, it's this culmination of eternal things coming together, and it says they overcame him, the enemy, the accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life to the death. We can focus on eternal things and live in a realm of joy and grace that we have never dreamed possible. Even in the midst of all kinds of interesting turmoil and struggles and situations, the grace of God is sufficient in every one of those situations. The grace of God will see us through. Wow, I'm telling you, I am challenged to focus more on eternal things. That's a mindset that you're looking at, that you're living in. You're looking at people differently. You're seeing situations differently. You even see time differently. And you see opportunities. Opportunities to sow seed and opportunities to reap harvest. Both those things are incredibly wonderful. Those are the things that are eternal. So I challenge you this morning, focus somehow, some way, shake yourself up, stir yourself up, get yourself to think about eternal things. Get your heart solid on thinking about eternal things. Look for opportunities to sow seeds of God's grace and love. You'll look at the cashier at Casey's differently. I hope they send me a check for that because I just gave them a commercial. You'll look at people differently. You'll look at your own family differently. You'll look at the body of Christ differently. You'll look at your church home differently. Don't say there's still four more months. Jesus said the harvest is ripe and ready to go. We need to get after it. Amen. So we're going to go get the kids at this time and the people that need to be that want to be baptized.
So if you are being water baptized, you can go ahead and go change. Ushers, if you can go gather the children from their classes and let the, who's going to do that? Who's on board to do that? And also let the children that are being baptized know that it's time for them to go change. While we're waiting for the children to come in and those that are going to be baptized, I have always had the privilege of teaching a class on baptism on those Sundays that we celebrate harvest by celebrating new souls. And so I had 7 people in my class this morning, 5 of which were children, 2 of which were adults. I have to say, I've never had such a talkative, question-asking baptism class. And they were asking questions, everything from the existence of God and original sin, the existence of the devil, how we know that there is a God, how we know that why we have free choice, every question, every hard question that could ever be asked. One of them even said, well, if God's telling us we have to love him to go to heaven, isn't he sort of like trying to peer pressure us? I mean, every kind of hard question. But at the end of the day, we got to understand a little bit more about baptism. And do you realize, and you know, when I first started studying to teach this class many, many years ago, I learned things about baptism I didn't know. Did you know that baptism is a symbolism of going from darkness to light or from bondage to freedom? And that water, God uses water as that symbolism, and that's been going on since Genesis 1, when it said God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was dark, and it was without form or void, and then the surface, then God hovered over the surface of the water, and then there was light. Wow. Water representing darkness to light. And then we all know the story of Noah, where the world was in a dark place and the water came and then the world became light again. And we know the story about Moses, when the people of God were in a dark place and he brought the deliverer and they went through the river into life again. And then we know that John came and Jesus came and John was baptizing people and Jesus came and the world, which had been a very dark place again, light was brought into the world, and God used that symbolism again of water to show from darkness to light again. And so today, that's what all these people that are being water baptized, that's what we learned about today. And so they're going to come and they're going to line up. We're going to be ready here in just a few moments. I'm going to have the worship team come on up. The worship team's going to play. And we're going to celebrate harvest with people, which is the best harvest we could ever receive. All right. Worship team is going to come on back up and play. We're going to get everything set here. The children are coming in. Water baptisms here are a family event. If the kids want to come up and watch, we encourage that. We appreciate that. If you want to take pictures, if you want to take video, you're more than welcome to do that as well. Again, parents, just keep close eyes on your kiddos, okay? We don't want anybody in the baptismal tank that's not supposed to be. And children, if you do come up to watch, kind of stay away from the water, okay? And make sure that the helpers have plenty of room. Okay. All right.
All right, who's going to be first? Rocco's going first. Okay, come on, Rocco. Rocco doesn't mess around, okay? All right, everybody. Oops. Are you okay sitting there for just a second? Okay. Still got children coming. I didn't know that. Okay, are we good? Somebody. Yeah. All right. So tell everybody who you are.
Rocco.
Rocco, what's your last name?
Coleman.
Rocco, why do you want to be baptized?
Because I want to learn more about God.
Christian?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing in your heart?
Yeah.
All right. You love Poppy more than Mimi?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, okay? All right, you ready?
Ago, my mom passed away. And I've been angry at God for a long time. And, you know, talking with Nana and Papa, I need to get right with God again.
All right, kiddo, that's
you, Betsy. Because it's hard being a Christian, and I take that as a challenge. Like last year, I was scared to be baptized, and yet the word was pretense, yet was the word that stuck to me ever since I came here. But now is the word. Now I'm gonna get baptized.
Janelle, and I want to be baptized because I want a deeper and closer relationship with my father.
All right, you ready?
James, and ever since I was saved, you know, I've always felt like I have something missing in my life, and that's why I want to be baptized. I think that's it, and then I'll be a lot closer to God.
Yeah.
Austin Anderson.
Okay, and why do you want to be baptized, Austin?
So I can learn more about God and understand Him more.
Everybody, go ahead and be seated again. We'll go ahead and be seated. All right, everybody, go ahead and take a seat. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. There's a powerful, powerful presence of God. Okay. How we doing? Are we just about ready? Go ahead and get that rug. All right, once again, we're going to ask everybody, please stay for lunch if you possibly can. There's plenty of food, and it's just going to be a really great continuation of what's been happening already here today. Again, please, parents, caregivers, keep your children with you through the line. It'll just help everything go a little bit more smoothly. All the food is going to be in this first room we're going to go through, so you can just go through, get your food, and then go immediately right on through it to the children's and youth. Wait for moms and dads. Wait for mom and dad. Wait for moms and dads. We're not quite ready yet. Come on. And then after you get your food, you can just go on into the children's and youth auditorium where there's plenty of seating. And this guy's hungry. All right, let's pray for the food, and then we're going to dismiss. Father, we thank you for this day. God, you are so good, and we are so thankful. God, we're so thankful for so much plenty, so much bounty. So, God, you bring in so much harvest for all the beautiful souls that were baptized today that expressed their love for you and their desire to know you more and to just understand you better, Father. Father, we pray for this food that's been prepared. We thank you, Father, that you bless it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. If, again, families stay together through the line and just enjoy yourselves. Have a great time.